Our Old Testament reading today comes from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 26, 8 through 15. And when Jeremiah had finished speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak to all the people, then the priests and the prophets and all the people laid hold of him, saying, "You shall die. Why have you prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, 'This house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate without inhabitant'?" And all the people gathered around Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. When the officials of Judah heard these things, they came up from the king's house to the house of the Lord and took their seat at the entry of the new gate of the house of the Lord. Then the priests and the prophets said to the officials and to all the people, "This man deserves the sentence of death, because he's prophesied against this city, as you have heard with our own ears." Then Jeremiah spoke to the officials and all the people, saying, "The Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and this city all the words you have heard. Now, therefore, mend your ways and your deeds, and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will relent of the disaster that he has pronounced against you. But as for me, behold, I'm in your hands. Do with me as seems good and right to you. Only know that certain that if you put me to death, you'll bring innocent blood upon yourselves, upon the city, and its inhabitants. For in truth, the Lord sent me to you to speak all these words in your ears." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson comes from Philippians 3, chapter 4. "Brothers, join in me, imitating me, and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many, of whom I have often told you, now tell you, even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like this glorious body. But the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The good news according to St. Luke. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." And he said to them, "Go and tell that fox, 'Behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I finish my course. Nevertheless, I must go on my way today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish away from Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. Behold, your house is forsaken, and I tell you, you will not see me until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. That was wonderful. You had us going with the chicken there. I liked it. So today, as we read in Luke 13 about Jesus telling that fox, Herod, about what he's come to do and what he will do, and then talking to Jerusalem, saying, I would have gathered you together as a hen would gather her chicks under her wings, her brood. We see a different side of Jesus than you might always think to see. Normally we have this loving Jesus, this kind Jesus, forgiving Jesus. Every once in a while you have Jesus who says, get behind me, Satan, or Jesus who's whipping at people and throwing tables over, or saying, go and tell that fox with firm vigor, and speaking to Jerusalem and saying, your house is broken. Your house is forsaken. Today we get to hear a little bit of Jesus' frustration and anger, righteous anger, and yet showing that he has come to gather those who will listen to him. He wants to bring people into safety. God sent his Son that he would do just that. We have a God who loves us and in mercy wants to gather us to himself. Yet time and time again, he's seen his people walk away from him and choose to, in disobedience and disrespect, forsake his teachings and his love and his mercy. Of course, we know time and time again, he's seen even us do that. We are so thankful that God has not given up on us and that he has sent Jesus to indeed gather us to himself. So that even those times when we have been frustrated or angry or walked away or chosen to live in ways that are not according to God's will, he's still there gathering us together. I think a lot of times we envision it with him on the cross with his arms open wide for us. In this moment, not wanting to sound too silly, of course, I wouldn't say that looks like any hen there gathering together her brood. But that is God, his arms open wide. We see it time and again. We see it in different ways and with different analogies, different pictures. The story of the prodigal son that is, of course, I think, mislabeled. You have then the loving father, who I think the story is really about, who runs and greets the son with his arms open wide to pull him in. In the same manner, having arms open wide to gather and to collect all those who he loves who listen to him. There are some interesting things, though, for us to pay attention to in our readings here. So, some things to specifically figure out a little bit more. Now, in verse 31, we hear at this very hour, so picking up just after Jesus has already spoken to many people, some Pharisees come and say to him, get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you. Now, this is one of those times where you're wondering, how was that said, and who are these Pharisees? You know, if it's almost like the actor would be looking to the director, can you give me some direction here? How am I supposed to be saying this, really? What's my character's real, you know, motivation here? What am I looking to do? We don't know who these Pharisees are. And a lot of times we hear the word Pharisee and we immediately think, oh man, those awful ones, those snakes, those ones who John the Baptist said, who warned you to flee, you brood of vipers? Or those ones who would try to catch Jesus in some sort of mistake in how he would speak so they could have him murdered. Those Pharisees who would go and actually have him murdered. We often think in that direction, but we also have to be careful. There are some Pharisees who we know perhaps were at least willing to listen to Jesus. You got Nicodemus. You got even a Pharisee who would come and put Jesus in his own tomb. You've got some Pharisees, at least, who are willing to listen. Maybe they are, in fact, even part of that brood there. We have to be careful when we're reading Scripture, or even when we're looking around in the world today. A lot of times we might read of somebody or think of someone that we know, or maybe a church that we've heard of, or one we've heard on TV, or maybe certain people we've seen preaching even on street corners, and we might have certain ideas about who that person is or what they would do or believe. Jesus is the one who can say, go and tell that fox. Jesus is the one who can speak to Jerusalem in a way and remind them that there is curse coming to them because of their actions. God alone is the one who can pass judgment and condemnation. He sometimes does it through his people. He certainly did it through Jeremiah in our Old Testament reading. Jeremiah was told to go and prophesy, and as he goes and does so, people are angry. How could he prophesy against this city? Doesn't he know this is God's place? How could he do this? He's there speaking on behalf of God. And given God's authority, he's able to say, there is suffering coming because of your lack of following God. It's in God's authority he says that. And Jesus, being God, is able to speak again to Jerusalem, there is a curse coming because of your actions. How I wish you would have come to me as my little chicks or as my brood, that I might gather you together. And yet, how could a prophet or anyone sent by God die away from Jerusalem? How many prophets they've killed before? We don't like hearing God's judgment or God's condemnation of sin. It doesn't feel good, and we react poorly to it often. You would hope that anyone from Jerusalem would hear Jesus saying this and think, well, maybe I'm doing something wrong. Maybe Jesus is right and we've not been acting correctly. We should listen to him. The times when God's voice is heard, when the Father's voice is heard during Jesus' earthly ministry, he says, this is my beloved Son. Listen to him. Now, thinking of those prophecies of destruction, we can think of many times where prophets were sent with stories of destruction and shame to be brought on a people because of their inability or lack of choosing to follow God, the desire to turn away from him. And then God doesn't punish them. My favorite is Jonah, right? Jonah and the whale or the big fish, who is sent out to preach to Nineveh. He doesn't want to do it. And so he's like, well, I'm going to run away from that myself. And God says, nope, here you go. And gives him a one-way trip straight to Nineveh via fish. So he goes there, and as he's preaching, he says, okay, things are going to go awful. God's going to punish you and destroy you. Whatever. That's the Pastor Brubaker translation anyway. As he's doing this, the Ninevites say, oh no, this is awful. We don't want that to happen. And they actually turn away from their error and they ask for forgiveness. And God relents and doesn't destroy the Ninevites. And then Jonah says, see, God, this is why I didn't want to do that. I knew you were a forgiving God, and if I did this, then you wouldn't destroy them. Now I look like a fool, and they're not destroyed, and this is not what I wanted. Anyone who would come and speak of this damnation, destruction, perishing that comes from turning away from God, they do so, hopefully, in God's will, so that these people would turn from their ways, so that they would understand what they've been doing was wrong, that they might turn back to God and God could show his mercy. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. Behold, your house is forsaken, and I tell you, you will not see me until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Here Jesus is prophesying and has kind of two things going on. The next time he would come back and the next time Jerusalem would see him, they would be saying, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. He would be coming back and the city would be excited about it. There'd be an uproar. We celebrated on Palm Sunday. And yet there's more to it than that. We wouldn't see Jesus. We wouldn't see the Lord, seeing in our hearts and understanding. The same difference between hearing and listening, right? We don't see the Lord. We don't see Jesus until we're saying, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is Jesus Christ." We want to listen to him. Thank God that he has sent his Holy Spirit into our hearts and minds to say that. Without God's grace, we would be like Jerusalem. We would be like Nineveh. Without his mercy, that he would choose us to call his children, to call his brood who he gathers together, we would be these same ones hearing prophecy of destruction and sadness and sorrow. That's the prophecy that exists for the whole world. Because of the fall into sin, death is here, and when death comes, there are only two places that people may go: heaven or hell. We know that that is coming for every person. And as real as that prophecy is, we know that God doesn't want people to go to hell. That's not his design. That's not his plan. His plan from the beginning was to be with his people, and he sent his son Jesus to make that happen, that all of us would be counted as his brood, those he would gather to himself. The goal of any time where the law is spoken and of punishment for sins and wrongdoing, the goal is that that would crush the sinner's heart and lead them to the grace and the gospel in Jesus Christ, in God's mercy and his love. Now, we don't get to speak as those who have the authority of God to go up to other persons or churches or cities or towns and say, "Your house is forsaken, you're destroyed." We're not prophets. We know that we trust the Bible that says, "In many and various ways God spoke to his people of old, but now in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son." We have our priest, our king, the prophet that we need, who tells us of the future and tells us of God's love for us. We have Jesus Christ, who has given us what we need. He reminds us that God is love, and that God mercifully wants to call all to himself. We have the same prophet who tells that fox, Herod, "Behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow." He keeps doing it over and over again. That's what he does in his earthly ministry. He teaches, he heals, he casts out demons. He keeps doing this through his whole earthly ministry, today and tomorrow. It's his plan, his design. He'll do it as long as he wants. And then he says, "And the third day, I finish my course." Now, when he says that, it doesn't mean 3 days later is going to be somehow Good Friday and Easter all combined together. But we as Christians, those who've lived after the resurrection of Jesus, when we read that word, those words, "the third day," we know what he means. He means, on Easter, I finish my course. His earthly ministry, full of teaching, healing, yes, some condemning and some preaching God's love and mercy, finds the end of its course in his death on the cross and his resurrection from the tomb, defeating all sin, death, and the devil. "Nevertheless, I must go on my way today and tomorrow and the day following." His time had not yet come. He knew there would be a time where it was that coming soon where he would die for the whole world. His time was not there yet. We're in this season of Lent here, and again, I think it's beautiful. I love our chancel art decorations here at different times, but this season really stands starkly as very Lenten. We have these Gethsemane trees bare. We have Jesus on the cross. We have dark pyramids. We're in this season, and we continue today and tomorrow all the way till Good Friday. And then on Easter, on the third day, we have this great and glorious end to Holy Week, to the Lenten season. We celebrate the risen Savior, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, your Lord. Yes, even your mother hen who would gather you together. We have a Savior who prophesied of, yes, God's destruction and God's wrath, but also reminds us daily of his mercy. Know and trust that as we sang in that hymn just before this, Lord, thee I love with all my heart. As we do listen to him, as we do proclaim love for him through the power of the Holy Spirit, we get that third stanza, which is, as we heard in our Bible study today before service, often used in the commendation of the dying, a service that happens right before someone is dead. Lord, let at last thine angels come, to Abram's bosom bear me home, that I may die unfearing, and in its narrow chamber keep my body safe in peaceful sleep until thy reappearing. And then from death awaken me, that these mine eyes with joy may see, O Son of God, thy glorious face, my Savior and my fount of grace. Lord Jesus Christ, my prayer attend, and I will praise thee without end. We have been called to God and made his children. Daily we pray for strength and comfort all the way through this life. And we trust that last line there, that last phrase is true. I will praise thee without end. We praise God all the way through this life and even without end through all eternity. The power of God, the mercy of God, is that we would be made perfect and holy to live with him in the place that Jesus Christ has prepared for you. Because of the work of Jesus, the love and mercy of God, you will be one who gets to praise God without end for all of your days here on earth and for all your days throughout eternity. This promise is yours in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Now go in peace and serve the Lord.